Shvuchi Oran,
paragraph Tesvov, and after a day or two, the boat was without drinking water. All the clean water that they had on the boat had been used up, and there was only one pitcher of dirty water that had worms crawling around in it. And this water, they split up, they divided among the people in the boat. Each person got a small measure, and the people were in tremendous danger of dying from thirst, which was the worst danger. And then the people started praying, the men, the women, and the children from the depths of their heart. And once again, a storm started raging in the sea, which brought the boat, after 2 days, to Eretz Yisrael, to the shores of Eretz Yisrael, to the city of Yafo. Rabbeinu Zal wanted to get off the boat right over there and head straight for Yerushalayim with this Chacham, with this Sephardic rabbi who he had made this pact with. And it seems that from Hashem it was decided that the Yishmaelim, the Turks, who at that time were in control of the port of Eretz Yisrael, refused to allow Rabbeinu Zal to get off the boat there. They saw his clothing and his face, his long payas. He didn't look like an Arab. He didn't look like a Turk. He didn't have the Sephardic look, the turban and everything that... And they said that he's definitely a spy, a French spy. And they refused, and no matter what kind of arguments, no matter what kind of convincing they tried to apply, they refused to let Rabbeinu Zal get off the boat. And Rabbeinu Zal ended up remaining on the boat. Now, the captain of the ship had wanted to stay there in the port of Yafo for a while, for a few days. And this was 2 days before Rosh Hashanah, when they arrived at the port of Yafo. However, the boat could not remain there because the waves were so powerful that it looked as if it was going to turn over the whole boat. And no matter what they tried to do to balance it, they couldn't do it. And the captain was shocked. He couldn't believe this. He never saw anything like this at a port, such waves, mamish at the port itself. And he asked them, "What is this? What is this?" And the Chachamim, the Sephardic rabbis there, explained to him that they have a Kabbalah, they have a tradition that goes back thousands of years, that this is the place where the prophet Yonah was thrown overboard into the sea, and therefore no boat can dock there. So the boat could not even remain there for the entire night. They were forced to lift anchor and move. So they left there, and they arrived on the night before Erev Rosh Hashanah, the night before Zechor Bris, when the Ashkenazim say the long slichas of Zechor Bris, on Erev Rosh Hashanah in the morning. The night before that, they arrived at the city of Haifa. And the boat anchored opposite Mount Carmel, opposite the cave of Eliyahu Hanavi there. And early morning hours, all the people said slichas with tremendous joy and happiness that they made it to Eretz Yisrael. And then they davened shachris. And then they all went into the city of Haifa, men, women, and children. And that's when Rabbeinu Zal officially entered Eretz Yisrael, into Haifa, and he arrived at the place that he had been yearning for, and he put his life in danger so many different ways in order to get there, in order to arrive there. And the incredible joy and happiness that he experienced the moment he stood on the soil of Eretz Yisrael is indescribable. Rav Nosson Zal writes, if all the oceans were ink and all the trees were pens, we couldn't describe the incredible excitement and joy that Rabbeinu Zal had when he got there. He said that as soon as he walked 4 cubits, Dalet Amos in Eretz Yisrael, he immediately achieved everything he wanted to achieve in coming to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbeinu Zal in Chaim Aran, it's brought that Rabbeinu Zal had mentioned, had spoken, he had said that until he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, he had achieved a level of knowledge, of recognition of Hashem, that was referred to as Chochmotato. And one of the main reasons he wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael was to achieve Chochmo Ilo, a much, much, much higher level of understanding and recognition of Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal said that when he took those few steps, the first few steps in Eretz Yisrael, he achieved that Chochmo Ilo that he had come from. After midday, they went to the mikveh. This is Erev Rosh Hashanah. And then they came to shul and stayed in shul until nighttime. And when Rabbeinu Zal returned to the place where he was staying, he was extremely happy. And every moment he would tell the person that was with him, "You're so lucky that you're zeicha this. You're so lucky that you're zeicha to be here with me now." And he told this person that was with him to take out the paper which had names written on it. Students of Rabbeinu Zal and people that were close to him had sent names with him with small requests for Rabbeinu Zal to daven for them in Eretz Yisrael. That night, on the night of Rosh Hashanah, Rabbeinu Zal asked him, read the names to me and the requests. And they ate the suda, the meal of the night of Rosh Hashanah, and everything was tremendous joy and happiness until they went to sleep there. In the morning of Rosh Hashanah, they went to shul, and then after returning from shul, Rabbeinu Zal seemed to be very worried, very, very quiet, in a state of brokenheartedness, wasn't talking, wasn't showing any joy or happiness, and wouldn't talk to anybody. Shvuchei Oran, paragraph Tezayin. Immediately after Rosh Hashanah, Rabbeinu Zal wanted to go home. He wanted to return to Ukraine. He didn't want to travel to any places, not to Tzfas, not to Tveria, but the person who was with him wanted desperately to be zeicha to see these holy cities of Eretz Yisrael. And he came to Rabbeinu Zal and he told him that there's a camel train that's leaving shortly for the city of Tveria. Rabbeinu Zal said to him, "You want to go to Tveria? Go hire donkeys." So sure enough, this person did, and he gave a deposit to join this shayara. And when he came back from the donkeys, Rabbeinu Zal said to him, "You hire donkeys?" He said, "Yes." Rabbeinu Zal said to him, "Go immediately and get your money back. And if they're not willing to give you your money back, forget about the deposit, because I don't want to go there." And 2 or 3 hours later, the person that was with him suddenly took ill, became very, very sick, very weak, and he praised Hashem that Hashem saved him from joining that shayara. He realized that there's no way in the world he could have traveled in that condition. Paragraph Yud Zayin. Now, as soon as the people who were living in Tzfas and Tveria found out that Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman, was in Haifa, the leaders there, the tzaddikim that were living there, the students of the Baal Shem Tov who had made Aliyah earlier, all sent messengers requesting that he come to them. And the people of Tveria arrived Yom Kippur, and they brought letters with them from the leading tzaddikim there, that all of them are requesting that Rabbeinu Zal come for Sukkos to Tveria to be with them. Rabbeinu Zal ignored it completely. He told the person that was with him, "Go buy a sroigim for us." The person went to a chacham, a Sephardic rabbi that was there in Haifa. He gave him money, 20 Turkish coins, and he went to a Turks that had a field there and brought 3 beautiful choice esroigim. Now the next item is an incident, a strange incident that took place in Haifa. During the time that Rabbeinu Zal was in Haifa, a Yishmoel Echad came. The word Yishmoel could mean Arab or could mean Turk. They're both pretty much the same. A young Arab Turk showed up and sat down next to Rabbeinu Zal and spoke to him for a long time. And Rabbeinu Zal had no idea what he was talking about. He's talking in Arabic. And this Arab stayed there at each meal that Rabbeinu Zal was eating. He would show up by day, by night. And he seemed to be talking to Rabbeinu Zal very friendly, like he liked him very, very much. Then, one time, this Arab appeared with a sword, with clay zayin, tools of battle, and he looked very angry. And he was screaming at Rabbeinu Zal, and Rabbeinu Zal had no idea what he was talking about. However, there was a woman there at the time who was from Romania, and as soon as this Arab Turk left, she told Rabbeinu Zal, "I'm begging you, get out of here as quickly as you can, because this Arab is saying that he wants Rabbeinu Zal to duel with him. He wants to have a duel with him, a duel to the death." So Rabbeinu Zal immediately fled the place that he was staying, and he went to the home of Reb Zev Micharn Ostro, who we had mentioned a little bit earlier in the story, who was also in the city of Haifa at the time. And they hid Rabbeinu Zal in one of the inner rooms of the house. He was hiding there in case this Arab Turk would come looking for him. Then this Arab showed up another time at the house where Rabbi Nizal had stayed earlier, and he was asking, where's the person who was here before? He said, make sure you let him know that I love him very, very much. I'm going to provide him with donkeys, and I'll give him my horse to go to Tveri. If he wants to go with the caravan that's going to Tveri, I'll give him my horse and donkeys, and he doesn't have to be afraid of me at all whatsoever. And sure enough, Rabbi Nizal returned to the place he was staying. He left Reb Zev Michan Oster, came back to his place. Then this Arab Turk showed up and didn't say a word. Didn't say a word to Rabbi Nizal at all. He was just quiet and laughing. And then he showed Rabbi Nizal again tremendous warmth and friendship, like he's his best friend. Rabbi Nosson Zal writes that this whole episode was very, very strange. And Rabbi Nizal said that he suffered more from the friendship of this Arab than from his anger and hate. And it seems, from what Rabbi Nosson Zal says, from what they heard Rabbi Nizal say afterwards, that during this whole incident with this Arab, Rabbi Nizal was in tremendous danger. That this Arab was the Satan himself, the Samach Mem, the angel of death, and that Rabbi Nizal was very, very fortunate that he was saved from him, that he didn't harm him at all.